is the community's reaction with your group as a whole? Do you see the general community welcoming the work you do?
Oh, yeah. We are, the larger city of Abbotsford, I think over the years, our relationship with the larger body of Abbotsford has definitely improved, which has made it easier to do some things, have better conversations. But our frustrations largely have remained the same for the past 18 and a half years or so.
I wanted to get into an area that very rarely discussed when it comes to homelessness and these kind of matters is, how many South Asians do you see the numbers of South Asians increasing, or is this a generally not a South Asian issue?
South Asians over the years have definitely increased, not like significant increases, but slowly, right? It's been a slower thing. Like, I think at the beginning when I started, there might have been one or two. And, you know, now we're probably in the couple of dozen maybe or more. So, I mean, it's increased, but not at the pace that, say Caucasian or Canadian or indigenous groups are definitely increasing. And youth.
And I wanted to once again go into mental health. What is, like, when people in general think about the homeless community, they think that they can't, they don't have jobs, they don't, you know, that they don't go get jobs. What is the actual picture that you want to tell the community about the homeless community? Is it more mental health, or is there more than that as a factor?
Well, mental health is definitely one of the largest factors. That goes without saying. But over the last number of years, particularly post-COVID and during COVID and just prior to COVID, we saw an increase of just your average citizen ending up being priced out of the market. So there's a dramatic increase of older individuals, particularly like the 50, 60-year-old plus category, who have now just, because of the cost of living, not because of addiction or a severe mental illness, are finding themselves living in their vehicles. If you ever get a chance at 3 o'clock in the morning in Abbotsford, you go to any of our truck stops, our parking lots at Walmart or whatever, the amount of individuals over the age of 50 sleeping in their vehicles has grown substantially. And many of them are employed as well, or on pensions. But there is a significant percentage that do have jobs, regular life, or as close as one as possible, given the circumstances.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about the cost of living and how difficult it's getting for people with cost of living issues. Just recently, the cost of living is getting way, way worse than it used to last year. It wasn't much of an issue. Do you see that? Do you see that as an impact now, starting to increase your work?
Oh, yeah. 100% hands down. You know, and this is creating problems that we never foresaw, like nobody foresaw. And for example, like I was saying, with the increase of older individuals or more stable individuals, to maybe use that language well. So people who have jobs, who are not suffering from addictions or mental health, what's happening is they're landing into shelter spaces that were typically for street entrenched people, right? So what happens is that shelters have policies, right, like that. And so your average street entrenched homeless person can have challenges meeting the policy requirements for staying at a shelter. So, you know, maybe they didn't show up that evening for whatever reason, they'll lose their bed, right? That's typical policy. But what's happening now is that folks that are being pushed out of the marketplace and housing and such are landing in shelters. Well, they don't have a problem meeting the policy needs. Right. So they're not leaving their beds. And so this is creating a gentrification of shelters.
And if there is one thing that you need from the government, be it municipal, provincial or federal, urgently, what would that one thing be?
we just need more hands on deck, more housing, more resources. These social issues are affecting every aspect of Canadian life. You know, it's affecting our healthcare system. It's affecting our police system. It's affecting our social service systems adversely because it's burning people out. It's overwhelmed. It's you know, probably on the verge of like just breaking really badly. And many groups have. It's pushing everything beyond the limits of capacity, and they need to find ways to shore that up.
And what would your final message to the community as a whole be in regards to the work you do and the people you serve?
Well, it's the same old message I've always had is like, we can't rely on the institutions to make these changes. It usually comes down to the personal individual choices. So, I mean, find ways that you can be engaged in helping and addressing social issues. So if that has to be homelessness, or if it has to be isolated seniors, or if it's food security, you as an individual need to find a way to invest your being into those issues, because unfortunately the institution, they never meet the needs, and we as individuals can.
If people wanted to help your organization, where would they find you? Where would they go?
The 5and2.ca has some information, and all our contact info is there. So if they ever want to reach out, that's the place to go through it. Or find me on Facebook.
Thank you, my friend. And we'll talk to you later and continue to do the work you're doing.
Thank you, sir. It was good to see you. And again, congratulations on your achievement there.
Thank you so much.
All right. We'll talk soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Eye on the Valley right here on CIVL. Join me again next week as I have another great episode for you.